I want to talk to you just for a little bit about a great lesson here, a great truth. And actually, it's in 1 Kings chapter 6 is where we'll look at. The Bible says here in verse 1, and I'm not going to hurry this lesson. I'll just quit whenever it's time to quit. But I will give you an introduction. And I'd like to just teach sometimes a series on something and not hurry. Brother Mullins, you know you like to do that, but then 1 week everybody will be here, and then the crowd's different the next week and the next week, and it's hard to do that, and so you feel like you feel obliged to preach the whole Bible at one time, but you can't do that. So if you're here this week and you're back next week, then you'll hear it, and if for some reason you can't be back, hopefully we'll have a recording and you can listen to that. But I want to talk to you about the sanctuary of God just for a few minutes. About the sanctuary of God. And just in brief here, David, in his later years, he wanted to build a sanctuary, a dwelling place for God, or we call the temple, but more so in the David's mindset was to build a sanctuary, a place for God to dwell, the presence of God to dwell in Israel. And David was burdened. He said, we have homes, we have houses, but we need to build a place for God. And David felt like he would be able to do that, but God forbid him from doing that because he had shed blood with his hands. And he told him, though, he said, I'll allow your son to do it. And so David began to prepare and provide for God for that. And when David's son Solomon became king, Solomon set out to fulfill that desire of his father and the will of God, I believe, to build a sanctuary, to build a temple. And it was a great temple. And there's a little lesson there that's a great lesson that we can learn from it. And let's read here in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass in the 480th year of the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. Notice that house of the Lord. He began to build the house of the Lord, the dwelling place of the Lord, the sanctuary of the Lord. And the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, the length thereof was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits, and the height thereof 30 cubits. And notice verse 3, the Bible says, and the porch before the temple of the house, 20 cubits was the length thereof, according to the breadth of the house, and 10 cubits was the breadth thereof before the house. And for the house he made windows of narrow lights. And against the wall of the house he built chambers round about, against the walls of the house round about, both of the temple and of the oracle. And he made chambers round about. The nethermost chamber was 5 cubits broad, and the middle was 6 cubits broad, and the third was 7 cubits broad. For without in the wall of the house he made narrow rests round about, that the beams should not be fastened in the walls of the house. And then notice verse 7. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. And I want to stop right there. I want to say just for a minute about this sanctuary, this place that Solomon built. Notice just real simple, real practical little thing that on the front of this house there was a porch. And notice also that in this house there were windows. There's two purposes for windows. And one is that you can see out and that the sun can shine in, or that you can see in. You drive by a place with windows and the like here at nighttime, the blinds are drawn. I have a rule that I try to practice at the house called, in the daytime, blinds open. Nighttime, blinds closed. It's hard to get that rule down. It's hard. Most of the times I'll come in and ours are closed in the daytime and open at night. And that makes me uncomfortable. I don't like for anybody out there to look at me no matter what I'm doing. And I don't know. I like to be able to look at them. But in the daytime, you drive by a house and you see the blinds open, and there's something about that that says, hey, everything's here, everything's fine, everything's good, we're here, we're home, we're comfortable, this is our house, you're welcome to drive by and look in our window and no problem, you know. But this temple had windows, also had a porch on it. When I moved to the little house where we're at there, and there was a little stoop when you first walked in. And I said, man, I'd like to build a porch out here. So I did. Did a pretty bad job. First, I didn't know that you were supposed to use decking board, so I just went and got 2x6s and just made me a porch. And then I realized, I looked around and saw that they had decking boards, and they looked a lot better than what I had. So I went ahead and I pulled those up and used my decking, my 2x6s. I used those to frame some more to my porch, and then I got decking boards, and then I built this porch, and then I went down here and built a little floating porch down here lower and made a little design there. And then I said, man, if it's raining, I don't have a roof, so I'm going to take this little section over here and build me another little porch over here and put me a little roof over it. And right now it's where all my junk's at. The reason building that was that when the kids are outside, I'm not like all the other neighbors. I like for somebody to be out there and kind of keep an eye on them. See, I just don't trust people, that's all. I like if the kids are outside and there's a bunch of them playing around, I like for somebody to be out there and Joe Biden or somebody with his shotgun firing up in the air and shooting hot air balloons or birds or whatever else. Thank God there's term limits in this country. Amen. We've got insanity in our country, brother. Listen, just shooting guns in the air is supposed to protect your home. But anyway, I like to sit out there and when I'm home and just kind of keep an eye on things. I think it's good whenever people can go outside. You don't see very many times people outside. I think it's good for people to drive by and say, look, there's family out on the front porch. They're out there, and you can see, so all those things are kind of a communication thing. And this tabernacle, this sanctuary of God, it was not a. There's a story in the Bible. Again, I'm just giving you an introduction here. There's a story in the Bible about the in the book of Ezekiel. Brother Mullins, you know what I'm talking about. You've read the story where God led them in, and he said, go into this chamber and then look into this chamber. And there was some men in there, some perverted, wicked men in there. And they were hidden in the chambers of imagery, the Bible says. They were hidden. You know, most wickedness, it goes on. It doesn't go on in the front porch. It goes on in the dark. If people are committing wickedness, And they don't want anybody to see, that they got something to hide. They're not going to open the windows up and say, everybody look and see what we've got to hide here. You go buy a house, and I've talked to landlords before that they'll go by and they'll check their property. And when they see windows painted black and they see stuff on the windows, it's a pretty good sign somebody's cooking methamphetamine in there, and they want to block out the windows and stuff. And if there's something going on that shouldn't be going on, they'll want to hide. There's a tendency. I'm not talking about privacy, but I'm talking about a tendency to hide and to disclose. You see, something about this sanctuary where God would dwell, it wasn't a clandestine thing. It wasn't a hidden thing. There was an open display about it. And now I want to take that and I want to just use that as an illustration for us as Christians. I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 just for a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You see, there's more to the Christian life than just praying a prayer and saying, okay, I accept God into my heart and into my life, and I'm saved now. God's in me. He dwells in me. But the Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And people say, well, all that matters is what's on the inside. It doesn't matter what's on the outside, just long as you're all right on the inside. Now, the Bible says that God looks on the heart. But the Bible also says man looketh where? On the outward appearance. So what does that tell us? Is our aim to convert God, or is our aim to convert man? Man. Okay. So man cannot see what's on the inside of me. Man, if my life is represents the sanctuary, if God dwells in me, there's going to have to be some porches in my life. Amen?
Right.
There's going to have to be some windows.
Right.
There's going to have to be a display so that people passing by, I mean, Solomon built a throne on one of these porches. He didn't want to just hide somewhere and go off somewhere and nobody know. He wanted people to be able to see what was going on. Now, I like on Sunday morning, I like to open those blinds up so that people driving by can look through and see that we're having church in here. Amen. You know, the Bible said about Jesus that nothing, he did nothing in secret. He did everything openly.
Right.
I've talked to folks that work over here at the Civic Center and the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons or whatever, occasionally they'll have their big convention over here. And they'll certain portions of that meeting you can come to. But there are portions where nobody, not the stage workers, the light, the PA people, nobody is allowed in those meetings. Everybody, unless you're a delegate, a Mormon or whatever, Jehovah's Witness, unless you're one of them, you are not permitted in their meetings. They have services. They have different kinds of services. I believe it is on Tuesday night or sometime. They have closed services where only their kind can come, because during those services, that's when they practice converting Baptist or Methodist or Nazarene or whoever else you are. They practice converting you, and they don't want you to be in there to see their tactics.
Right.
I'm glad we don't have tactics. Amen. I'm glad we don't have anything hidden. We have open services, and we as Christians, we're to let people see Jesus Christ in us. Amen.
Right.
It's not some secret thing that we have. Now, there is, for the Christian, there is an inward thing. There is a secret devotion. I'm not talking about that. There is an inward walk with God. There's a private walk with God that nobody sees, that nobody knows about. The Bible talked about entering into your closet and praying. The Bible talked about that Pharisee that stood in the temple and he prayed outwardly. He wanted people to hear him. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about us as Christians displaying the fact that Jesus Christ is in us. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about this world needs to see that Jesus Christ is in us. People need to see that He dwells in us. We're the sanctuary of God. We're His dwelling place, the Bible teaches us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 12, verse number 9 says, "For we are laborers together with God." It says, "Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." The Bible says in verse 12, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And verse number 16 says, "Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." I'm always like how people say, "Oh, why, I'd never do that in church. Why, you wouldn't catch me doing that. I wouldn't say that word in church." And I'm glad for folks respecting the house of God. I mean, people will, and I'm not picking on people. I don't know if we got any smokers here tonight or not, but people will run outside and smoke, and they always run outside, and I always think, why not just do it right there in the church? And we'd all die if they did. You know what I mean? We'd all, I can't believe somebody's smoking in the church. I can't believe they're doing that in the sanctuary. Can I tell you what? If you're saved, can I tell you the sanctuary is right here? Right here. This is it. Hey, the moment you got saved, like it or not, big boy, big girl, whatever. Hey, the moment you got saved, Jesus Christ came to indwell the believer. You're His. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. What know you not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost? I mean, listen, there's no way in the world, there's no way in the world you all would put up with me if I said, hey, we're going to have movie night. I'm going to bring the projector in here. What are we going to watch? Lassie or The Lone Ranger or Roy Rogers? Oh, no, I was thinking about watching this R-rated movie that come out. You say, oh, in the church? Oh, we can't do that. What if they have cussing in it? Hey, what if they go to bed together? What if there's somebody drinking in it? Well, why is it bad to do it in the church, but it's okay for us to watch it in our homes and watch it with our eyes? Friend, I'm preaching. Hey, man, listen, if you got a television, and if you watch the commercials, there's stuff on there that's unfit.
Right.
Listen, if you got one, and every once in a while as a Christian, you don't feel like you ought to throw it out the front door, there's something wrong with this. Amen. And I'm testifying. Listen, hey, I've threatened mine a whole lot lately, and the threat's about ready to end. I'm about tired of the homosexuality and the wickedness and all the perverts, I'm tired of Hollywood throwing that stuff. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want my kids to see it or hear.
Right.
Why? Because listen, because our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
I tell you what, and this is not a sermon where I'm trying to throw out there what I do, what you do. I'm not trying to do that. But I tell you what, I feel a whole lot better as a Christian if I plug on there the radio and play some good Christian music or some good preaching or something and just leave that, as the old time preacher said, just leave that television off. Amen. Why? Because the Spirit of God dwells in me. Listen, and He dwells in you if you're saved. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God.
Right.
I mean, listen, look what the Bible says. It says there in 1 Corinthians, it says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive you. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. And the Bible teaches us that, boy, listen, how important it is that we understand that we are, as Christians, we are the sanctuary of God. Oh, there's a segment of Christianity that laughs at the idea of holiness now. I mean, listen, holiness, and it's nothing new, but they've always, I can read preachers from the 1800s and they would have to deal with the fact that there were people that laughed at the idea of holiness. Just, they said, well, you're a Christian, it doesn't matter, just do whatever you want to do, don't worry about it. Listen, friend, listen, hey, God saved us and He made us the temple of the Holy Ghost. He wants us to realize that we're His temple. I'll show you something in this that's going to help you. I got to hurry. I want to make sure I get to it. I won't take time to show it to you because I got some other verses I want you to see. But I want you to know individually, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
I want you to know also that collectively you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The local church, 2 Corinthians chapter 6,
right.
He says, all ye Corinthians, the Corinthian church. And Corinth was a wicked, vile, dirty city, a wicked city. And He said to them, come out from among them and be ye separate unto me, saith the Lord. He said, touch not the unclean thing. He said, I'll be a father unto you. And He said, I'll receive you to myself. He said, I'll be a father to you, saith the Lord God Almighty. What was He saying to the Corinthian church? He was saying to the church at Corinth, if you want to have revival, He said, come out from among them.
Right.
Boy, listen, if there ever was a day when we needed separated churches,
right.
We need separated Christians, amen? But we need separated churches. Most of our churches laugh at separated Christians, make fun of separated Christians. Friend, listen, hey, but it's the duty, not only us as Christians individually are to be separated, but our churches are to be separated.
Right.
That means individuals separated from the world, and also our churches are to be that way, amen?
Right.
Nowadays, a preacher, when he gets up to preach anything about separating from the world, he's got to spit and slobber and stutter, and his mouth gets dry, and he looks around to see if the deacon's wives are mad yet, or if anybody's walking out on him, and he says, boy, I'm glad we had the offering before the service started. He's got to apologize for preaching. Friend, listen, hey, I wouldn't want to have to do that every time I stood up to preach. Amen. And brother, listen, the Bible says break up the fallow ground. And preachers are afraid to break up the fallow ground, and our churches are no longer separated.
That's right.
You see, God intended for the church to be in the world, but not for the world to be in the church. You put a ship out in the sea, and that ship is built to ride the waves. That ship is built to ride the tossing of the waves. Friend, listen, hey, but as long as the ship is in the water, everything's okay. But when the water gets in the ship, the ship sinks. And today, listen, our churches have said, you know what? We're gonna borrow from the world. We're going to borrow from the world. We're going to borrow a little of the world's music, Brother Miles, and we're going to twist it a little bit, polish it up, and we'll use it, and we'll implement it into our services, friend. And the devil said, thank you very much. I was looking for a ticket in. We're going to borrow from the world. We're going to borrow from the world and bring it into churches and polish it up and make it churchy, when what's happened is the world has gotten a whole lot more worldly and the church has gotten a little bit worldly. The world's gotten a little churchy and the church has gotten a whole lot worldly. You see, that's killing our churches. See, preacher, if you preach that, will people leave? I want to tell you what, this is one of the finest prayer meeting crowds you'll find anywhere around here of a church our age, I promise you. You say, preacher, there's not a whole... Hey, if I brought all the kids from downstairs up here, we'd have a good Sunday night crowd up here, a good Sunday night crowd compared to what a lot of other churches are. And I'm not comparing us to other churches, but I'm saying that you can still be separated. And you say, preacher, are we as separated as we ought to be as a church? The answer, I think is no. I don't think we're as separated as we ought to be. Listen, hey, I think we ought to teach it more and preach it more, and I think we ought to realize how important it is, friend. It's important that we collectively are separated from the world as a Christians. Right. It's important. Now, I got another one that's real good, and that is this right here. And that's in Ephesians 2:21. We're not going to turn to it, but in Ephesians 2:21, it talks about another church, a heavenly church. Y'all, listen, there is going to come a day when the Lord is going to separate His church. Amen? The government talks about separation of church and state. It's going to happen someday. And it ain't going to be what they planned. Amen? I don't know when. I don't know all the details. But I know someday the true church is going to be taken out of this world and the false church is going to be left behind.
Right.
Friend, so listen, there's a collective individual, a collective, and eternally, we're going to be in heaven. We'll represent the body of Christ. We'll be part of the body of Christ. Amen? Now, I want to show you something real important, real simple. Let me see what time it is. 8:22. Listen. The sanctuary, or the house of God, is built by God upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Now, this sanctuary, you'll study this. You check it out. Those of you that like Bible study and like Bible typology, you read this and read this. You say, boy, reading that temple's boring. Know what God was doing? He was adorning the sanctuary. He was adorning the temple. And we as Christians, don't let this whole worldly mentality slip in that said it doesn't matter. It does matter. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. It does matter. It does matter. And don't let that get into your mind. Don't let the worldly philosophy slip in. It does matter. Amen.
Right.
It does matter. Listen, hey, and you read this. But now here's the thing. This temple was built from stones, but these stones were all covered over with cedar, and then the cedar was covered over with gold. So that was for then. Yeah, back then God wanted His sanctuary to look like it was different. But He don't care now, though, does He? Now He's just a commonplace God now, right? I mean, just an everyday, average, Joe, ordinary God. I mean, we just may as well dumb God down to the rest of the world, right? Nuh-uh. No, He's still an extraordinary God.
That's right.
Amen? And when He set about to build this temple, Solomon, He didn't say, now Solomon, you're making that thing too nice. I ain't worthy of one that nice. No, listen, you wait till you get to heaven. The streets are gold in heaven, amen? The walls of pearl, gates of jasper. Listen, hey, when you get to heaven, it ain't going to look like a slum. Why? Because that's God's house.
Amen.
And brother, listen, we as Christians are His sanctuary. Say, preacher, how do we get like that? Do we just will to be that way? No, that's not the case. You see, I want you to see a word called sanctification. Man, what a good word. We just don't look at it enough in our churches. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Don't have time. Man, I don't have a time to show you all these. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to give you a list of verses to look up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll pick out one verse and end up writing down the whole chapter here. I got 1 through 12. And I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I just could tell you the verse I want you to look at. But the Bible said, furthermore, 1 Thessalonians 4, when we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Did you see that last part of that verse? so you would abound more and more. You know what that means? God says, if you'll walk and please God, your church will grow. You know why our churches are dying? Because our churches are more interested in pleasing men than they are pleasing God. You go in the average church, you listen to the music in the average church, you say, but preacher, they got a crowd. Yeah, there's a crowd there. Hey, there's a crowd, fills the Civic Center up, pays $30 or $40 a ticket. Hey, Alabama came to Charleston on their farewell tour a few years ago, and people paid $200 to $800 to be there. Notre Dame just played the national championship and lost, got beat to death by Alabama. And listen, people paid $10,000 to sit down in certain seats, Notre Dame fans, and they left before the third quarter. $10,000. Filled up a stadium. Don't tell me a crowd means you're smart. Amen. You can get together a crowd of dummies real easy in this world. And our churches are built upon a crowd of dummies. Amen. Brother, listen. So you shouldn't say that. Well, the truth is the truth, friend. Listen. Amen. You listen to the average what's sold is preaching today, and you got to figure that's a crowd of dummies sitting there. Amen. Because that fella can make up any old story he want, not preach any doctrine, not preach any Bible, and the people just sit there and say, oh, that's wonderful. They wouldn't know Bible preaching if it slapped them inside the head. Amen. Right. Brother, listen. Hey, understand, look what he said. He said, verse 2, he said, for ye know what commandments we give you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That word fornication, of course, it's talking about physical activity. But also it's talking about Christians fornicating with the world.
Yeah.
It's talking about Christians that are part of the bride. You know what we are? We're the bride of Christ. And we're not to fornicate with the world. We're not supposed to lay around with the world and mess around with the world. We're a spouse to Him. Amen. We're His bride.
Amen.
And brother, listen, you don't see it that way anymore. That every one of you, verse 4, should know, every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond in any matter to defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such also we have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. You see that, friend? Listen. Hey, God's called us not to uncleanness, but to cleanness. Hey, God's called us to holiness, friend. Every one of you. Not just the deacons, not just the preacher, not just the choir members. Every one of you, he said. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Friend, listen. Verse 10, he said, indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Brother, listen, they say you can't grow if you're separated. You can't have any standards and grow. I don't believe that, amen. I believe God will bless if you'll do right. I'm not going to read 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 17 and chapter 3, but you can. And I'm not going to read Ephesians 5, 21. Ephesians 5, 21 talks about Christ and the church and the being the bride of Christ. I'm not going to read that to you. I'm not going to take time to read that. Ephesians 5, 21. I'm not going to read it 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 24. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 24 starts out with quench not the Spirit. And I'll read verse 23 to you. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. Now here's the key. Who's going to sanctify the Christian? I'll tell you what. You say the Holy Spirit, you're part right. You say, well, Jesus did, that's part right. You say, well, God did, that's part right. The answer is they all three will. The Word of God. Now I want to show you something. This is real, real neat. To me, it's neat. When they built that temple, the stones, go back and read it. 1 Kings chapter 6. Here's where we mess up. The Bible says in verse 7, "And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building." Ah, look here, I'll show you something. Take your Bible, turn to Psalms 119, verse 89. I want to show you something about this Bible you got here in your hand. Here's where we're blowing it. Here's where we're failing so bad. You say, "Preacher, it's a preacher's job to make everybody do right and be right and act right." Oh, I think you've blown it there. You see, Psalm 119, verse 89, a lot of preachers get frustrated and discouraged and aggravated. And they quit and them people just won't listen to me. Well, we're trying to beat the stones at the wrong time. Amen. Look what the Bible says. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Okay, where the stones were made ready before, right? The work on the stones was from somewhere else. Before they ever got to the temple, before they ever started doing the work, those stones were prepared before. Well, how does a Christian become prepared to be a part of the body of Christ? How does a Christian become sanctified as a member of the body of Christ? Glad you asked. Look at John 17, 17. Look what it says. Look at, go back a little bit. Look at John 17, verse 14. I'd like to read all of John 17. Boy, it really shows you this. But John 17, verse 14, look what it says. Someone read that first phrase to me. Huh. Now look what he says. "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." Verse 17, verse 16. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Verse 17. "Sanctify them through thy truth." Hold it up. "Thy word is truth. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." You know why we don't have sanctified, set apart people? Because we've got Bibles that have been messed with by man. You say, "Preacher, it's no big deal when a church leaves the King James Bible." Yeah, it is a big deal. "So it's no big deal, preacher. It's no big deal. Hey, you can just stand up. You just stand up here and preach, and you give them a good sermon. That'll change them." No, I'll tell you what changes people. It's the Word of God is what changes people. If you never had a preacher, you get saved, and you never had a discipleship course, and you're saved, and you never have a soul winner come by for follow-up visitation, and you're saved, if you'll open the Word of God, God will change your life. God will change your life. This book right here, Brother Mullins just mentioned it in a testimony. Hey, he got saved, went in the Navy, didn't have a Sunday school class, didn't have a church, but had a Bible. Some of you the same thing. You can say the same thing. Listen. You're not sanctified today because some preacher beat you into shape. You see, you understand? That's where we mess up. We're trying to beat people into shape. You're sanctified and set apart, and you fit in the temple because the work was prepared without. Like those stones. You see that? Before they ever got there, they were fixed. They were done. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth." You see, the churches have given up on separation. They've given up on holiness. They've given up on all that. Why? Because they're trying to implement it by their rules instead of preaching it as the word of God.
Right.
You see, It's not the Baptist way. It's not the Methodist way. It's not the Nazarene way. It's the Bible way.
Amen.
You see, the Bible hasn't changed. They talk about old time Methodist. And they talk about old time Nazarene. And they talk about old time Baptist. You know what? They're right. The new time Nazarenes, new time Methodists, new time Baptists, ordain women preachers, ordain homosexuals. Don't preach any standards. Don't have any convictions. Don't care. I mean, the preacher preaches in his shorts and tank top. I mean, but listen, no regard for anything, no respect for anything. And they've forgotten that we represent God. We're His sanctuary. We're not hidden somewhere. We're not mucks hidden somewhere. We've got a front porch. People all drive by and look at the front porch and say, huh, must be something different about that place. Boy, look, the blinds are open. They're not hiding anything. Boy, look, there's some people right there that are kind of saying, hey, humbly, here we are. We're on display. Come and see. We've got nothing to hide.
Amen.
And that's the way, as Christians, that's the way we ought to be. Amen.
Amen.
We oughtn't to have two lives. We've got too much parallel Christianity. People one way and another. One way and another. And I don't know about you, but before the beginning of the year, I started reading in my Bible, reading the Old Testament. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, when I was reading that laws and them commandments, that's what God wanted His people to do. Now, we don't get saved by that, but I'll tell you what, I read that, and I'll tell you what, God convicted me as I was reading that. Amen? So don't tell me it ain't important. The Bible says, for all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. I tell you what, listen, I've heard a lot of preaching, but sitting there in the morning reading my Bible, God did some things in my heart that no preacher had done. And I'll tell you what, if you'll open this book up and read it, you won't have to have me come to church and beat you with a pick and a hammer and try to beat you in shape. You read the Word of God and let God speak to your heart, and God will change your life. God will sanctify your life. God, you say, preacher, I'm trying to make myself holy. Forget that. I preached that Sunday night. You can't make. I'm not talking about making yourself anything. You yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. You yield yourself to God. That's right. You yield yourself to this book right here, this eternal Word of God, and say, God, make me what You want me to be. God, mold me and make me. God, do what You want me to do. I know people that are all the time rediscovering themselves. Man, I went to Bible college with some good people, and they're still good people. But they're far enough along now that they were molded and shaped by men, not by the Word of God. And some of them, you don't even recognize them anymore. College. You say, preacher, what is that? Oh, they conformed for a little while because they were hammered into sanctification by men, but they never were changed by the Word of God. You let God's Word change you, and you're fit for the Master's use. I beg you, I plead with you, get in the Word of God and let God's Word change you. God has a place. He has a place for every one of us. He has something for every one of us. But we need to conform to His image, and we need to be the sanctuary that He would have us to be. Amen.